Will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, draw us closer to one another and closer to you. Amen. So it is the tradition in my church in Seattle on the Sunday after Christmas to tell a story. And I was here last year and brought that tradition to you. Maybe it's been a tradition here anyway, whether I brought it or not. But it seems like a good storytelling Sunday. So this Sunday, I have brought you a story. This one was written by Leo Tolstoy, and it was published in 1886, the first time it appeared. It was about 20 years after he had written War and Peace. The story is based on an old French folktale that was known as Father Martin. We, in our English translation, have come to know the story as The Cobbler, and it has appeared in many versions. I've heard it attributed to other people because it's appeared in children's books. There was even a claymation version of this story. But Tolstoy's original title kind of gives it away. His title was, Where Love Is, God Is. So listen to the story of Father Martin. As it goes, there was in the town of Marseille a beloved old cobbler. And as the town loved him so, they called him Father Martin. One night, Father Martin was sitting by his fire, and it was Christmas Eve, so he was reading the Gospel of Matthew. He read the section just before the passage we heard, the story of the visit of the Magi. And he, as he was reading, began to imagine, what if I had been there that first Christmas day? What gift would I have brought the Christ child? He looked around his shop and he saw on a tall shelf some beautiful leather boots, soft and warm, that he had made himself. He thought of them even as probably the best thing he had ever made. And he said to himself, it's those leather boots. That's what I would give the Christ child. And as he sat there by the fire in his chair on Christmas Eve, as can happen when you're warm and cozy, he began to nod off. Suddenly, the room seemed filled with light, and he heard a gentle voice saying, Father Martin, I've heard your wish, and tomorrow I will visit you in your shop. He woke up. He looked around. Christ is coming to visit me. He got up. He swept the shop. He baked some bread. He put a tea kettle on the fire and stoked the fire so the house would be nice and warm. And as the dawn was breaking, he poured milk and brought the fresh bread and honey to the table, set with the finest of his plates. And he sat by the window and he waited. And as he looked out the window, the first person he saw was the old street sweeper out there in the snow, clearing paths in the street and on the sidewalk for those who would be coming by. The street sweeper looked frail and cold and kind of miserable. So Father Martin opened his door and invited him in. Come on in, he said. The house is warm. I have food. I have warm tea to drink. Sit and rest a while. Warm yourself and be filled. So the street sweeper came in. He ate his fill, he was warmed, and he went back out to his task. And Father Martin sat back down to look outside the window. I can tell you guys know where this is going. The next person to walk by was a young woman with a baby. And she was clearly frail, cold, shivering, and in need. He opened his door again. He said, "Come on in." He offered milk for the baby and bread for the woman and a hot cup of tea. And he looked at the baby and said, "Well, your child has no shoes." "Ah," said the woman, "I am poor. My husband is off to sea. I can't afford shoes for the baby." Father Martin looked up on the shelf. He saw the beautiful boots. He brought them down and he offered them to the woman. She delightfully put the shoes on the baby's feet. Of course, the baby started kicking and smiling, and everybody was warm when the woman went on her way. As the day went on, Father Martin sat there by the window, watching for his visitor, his special visitor, and different people passed by. When he saw a person in need, he'd invite them in, perhaps give them a bite to eat, let them warm themselves by the fire, until the day was over. And at the end of the day, Father Martin sighed. "It must have just been a dream," he thought. And as he sat by the fire, he dozed again. And again, a light filled the room. And there in the room was every person who he had taken in that day. Every person said, "Did you not see me? Did I not sit at your table? I was here all along." And then they vanished. And out of the silence, Father Martin heard the same voice he had heard the night before, quoting this scripture: "Whoever receives one such in my name receives me. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it for one of these, you have done it for me." So you know that story, right? I would venture to say, if you hadn't actually heard it before, you knew what was coming. If the title didn't give it away, pretty much the first part of the story did. And let me say this: I have seen you live this story. Because isn't that the essence of the gospel? Isn't that the essence of the season we are celebrating? That the Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. And we have beheld glory full of grace and truth. Now, with that story of Father Martin in mind, and that text from the end of the Gospel of Matthew, let's consider again this story in the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. This story of a holy family fleeing a brutal regime, the brutality that was the Roman Empire. What do you hear when you listen to that story now? Matthew wants us to know God is present and at work in human history. God is present with this refugee family in Matthew. And as Matthew's gospel story unfolds, it becomes clear that God is present and active throughout this story. that the kingdom of God is a different and ultimately more powerful kingdom than we encounter in the Roman Empire. And as we listen to Matthew's story from then and there, do you also hear what I hear? Maybe you've seen the online conversation or the memes that depict the Holy Family absent from the creche because of our empire's cruelty to refugees. Perhaps you've even experienced arguments between those who would say that the situation of refugees today is very different than the situation of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus as described in Matthew. Let me bring you this quote from United Church of Christ pastor and theologian Mary Ludi, who made this observation. I'm seeing a lot of threads on social media that debate whether one can say Jesus was a refugee. I've grown impatient with them. For me, the trouble with these arguments is that they try to make an historical and biblical case that relies on a strange kind of literalism. Was it legal or not to cross a border back then? Did they have passports back then, or did no one need them? How long did they stay out of the country, and can they be called refugees if they didn't intend to stay long? Can you be a refugee if you stay inside the Roman Empire, of which Egypt was actually a part in that time? Such arguments, she says, thus also depend on thinking about Christ in the past tense. But he's not in the past. Faith says he is among the living. He lives in the present. So she says, instead of trying to find ways to identify him and the Holy Family as bona fide refugees, we would do better to take Jesus at his word as a grown-up when he said, whatever you do to the least of these, my siblings, you do to me. Jesus identifies himself absolutely with the poor, the vulnerable, the victimized, the alien, the stranger, the refugee. There's absolutely no difference between him and them. They are one. When we see them now, it's Christ we're seeing. Was Jesus really and truly a refugee back then? Mary Ludi says, I don't know, and almost, I don't care. Is Jesus a refugee now? You bet your life he is. So help him, or else don't claim to love him. I know this congregation takes these words seriously. I have seen you been committed to this. I experience it every time I'm with you. Last Wednesday night on Christmas Eve, if you were here, you heard your pastor Karen quote one of the Christmas poems of Howard Thurman. A different one than we prayed at the beginning of this service, but you know it. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. If that feels difficult, especially here and now, I'm just going to acknowledge that it is. And I know you know how difficult it is. So I'm here simply to encourage you in that good work that you do, and also to remind you of the mystery of our faith, that God was in that family fleeing, and God was with that family. That Christ is present among us, the one we serve, and Christ is serving us as well. Our guest is also our host. People, the message of Christmas is that God is with us. We are not alone in this work. And as we reach out to serve Christ, we discover Christ serving us, encouraging us, strengthening us, forgiving us, and leading us on. May we keep following that light. Thank you.